Wendy, Dr. John Duffy is here in studio, but before we talk to John, I have a very, very big surprise for you.
Oh!
At 11:35, right here on this show, you and I will be chatting with Fritz Kagi.
I knew this was going to happen.
Isn't that exciting?
For you.
The man of the hour, the man of the world, Fritz Kagi will be joining us, and we'll talk about all things Fritz Kagi with him at 11:35.
He owes you money.
I've been saying his name a lot. I enjoy saying his
name.
You
got into my head at the polling place yesterday, and my son's head.
Yep.
He owes you some kind of royalty or something.
We'll see what
he's
going to give me.
All right, cool.
Probably appoint me to some office.
Good job, Jasmine. Yeah, right. The office of fun.
I wouldn't be surprised if I'm named Commissioner of Fun. Hi, John.
Hi, Bill.
Dr. John Duffy is here to join us. Now, we're going to talk about something that isn't fun, but we're going to talk about how to fix it, and that's negativity.
How to make it more fun, right.
Yeah.
Right, so one thing I find in my practice that I don't think we've really spent enough time talking about here is how most of us have this negative self-chatter, this internal monologue mm-hmm. that is negative, typically about ourselves, usually around the theme of, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not doing well enough. I'm not losing enough weight. I don't have the right job. I'm not making enough money. Some negative criticism, not good looking enough. Mm-hmm. And we carry that, and it's a really powerful set of messages that we really experience subconsciously, and then we fail to act on our own behalf because we kind of convince ourselves without really thinking consciously about it, I'm probably not worth my time and energy.
I don't deserve it anyway.
So why would I? And so we do an awful lot for other people. We'll tell other people when they say, I just feel lousy about myself. We'll spend hours telling them how wonderful they are. We will give them a laundry list of great things about themselves. But to change that script internally, that's hard.
That is a strange concept.
It is.
It doesn't make sense.
It makes total sense to me. You don't have like.
Why does it make sense to you? Because I'm baffled by it.
Because I think it's a guy girl thing a little bit. Women are nurturers. So if someone comes to us and says, you know, oh, I'm not feeling good about myself today, I will take all the time in the world to pump them up and go, oh my God, you got so much going for you.
Yeah.
And then I stop and listen to myself talk and go, if only I could practice what I preach.
Right. Right.
And that's really what it is. I think confidence, women have less of it because they spend more time trying to pump other people up. Is it a guy-girl thing? Maybe I'm over...
No, I think there's some element of that. I think sometimes the male confidence is kind of this pumped up ego confidence, but not necessarily do we feel any better about ourselves.
Okay.
We just convince ourselves
like false bravado.
Yes,
kind of?
Exactly.
John, I don't know that I would separate this as a man-woman thing, but I would feel comfortable separating this as an American versus the rest of the world thing. I bet that this goes on much more in the United States than it does in other parts of the world. Canada, does it?
No doubt. 100% true.
Yeah.
Yes. Just like depression and anxiety are more prevalent here, where we have just about everything we could possibly need.
Yeah.
Than anywhere else on the planet, including third world countries where people are starving. But they don't, the way it was explained to me one time is in a lot of parts of the world, they don't have the luxury of feeling terrible about themselves. They have to survive.
Sure.
You know, we have this luxury
right.
of thinking about ourselves in that third person, and we often think negatively. And part of it's this onset of social media that I think is like amplifying it, but it was here long before that.
So you would say if you had to separate this nature or nurture, this is learned behavior. We're not born with this kind of self-loathing or feeling that we can't accomplish things. That comes over time, doesn't
Correct.
It?
Correct. It's a strange thing that we do as children because we get a lot of messages about ourselves, some of them positive, some of them negative. But I've noticed in the kids I work with and in my thinking about myself as a child, my siblings, that we tend to internalize hardest the ones that are negative, the ones that are harshest.
Yeah.
And the good stuff tends to kind of roll off our backs like, maybe that's just my parents telling me I'm a good kid or my teacher telling me I'm smart when they don't really believe that. But when you get, you know, the criticism, that's when you internalize it and really own it. And that becomes part of your psyche.
That makes total sense. And then, you know, we've talked about this before on the air, and I think with you, and if not, I'm sure we did. When you have a vacation and everything goes great, it's a great vacation, and you move on to the next one. When something goes wrong or goofy, or those are the memories you say, oh, remember that trip to Disney when Dylan had lice, and we called it Disney on Lice. Remember that? But we went four other times that were great, but we remember that one.
Oh, yeah. Definitely when things don't go goes smoothly, we remember the negative, no doubt about it. But in situations like that, Wendy, I think it's like, I think that's really adaptive and great, you know, because that creates kind of the fabric of the family lore, which I think is great. The problem with this is it's insidious and it owns us, you know, it owns the way we think about ourselves moment to moment and day to day in ways that we are not aware of. So I always push people like, and right now, the listeners now, think about how you think about yourself and give yourself a break. Give yourself, you know, a moment of consideration of what you're grateful for about yourself, not about somebody else, because that's easy. Not about, you know, the external elements of your life, but about you specifically.
There's a word that I absolutely hate and that I say about myself all the time, and you can be aware of this, Bill, and you'll attest to this. Lazy. I hate that word.
Yeah.
My whole life I've been called lazy because school was pretty easy for me when I was younger, and then I went away to Illinois State for a while and couldn't get on their radio station there. So I quit before I got kicked out. Yes, I'll admit that. Went to Triton College because I knew I could be on the radio station. I knew I wanted to be on the air. I found the quickest way to get there.
Right.
But everyone's like, oh, you're lazy. You took the easy way out. Is that lazy?
No. No. In fact, I remember being in a colleague's office, and on a bookshelf, I saw a book titled The Myth of Laziness. And for about 4 hours, I sat there reading this book, but the title kind of says it all. Lazy isn't really a thing. I don't think it's a character trait. I don't think it's anything we really are.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes we opt out because we lack some confidence, and that looks like lazy.
Yeah.
A lot of kids who seem lazy now, and it happens more with boys than girls, they're recognizing their peers are super stressed out trying to get A's and AP classes and all this stuff, and they step back in part recognizing, ooh, I don't want to play that game. I don't want to be stressed out like that.
Right.
So I'll take whatever looks like lazy over that.
John, I saw that same book, but I didn't want to have to walk all the way over and pick the book up and open the book.
It's a lot of work.
But that's one of those words that my mom used a lot with me, and that is one that I hate to hear, but I refer to myself as that all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so lazy. Huh. I'm really not.
Well, and think about if we give our kids that message, and maybe you can attest to this, Wendy, it gives us that license to say,
like,
oh,
why try?
I can't do it. I'm lazy. This is a thing I am.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
right?
You label yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dr. John Duffy is here. We're talking about negativity. Much of it self-imposed. How do you handle it? 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Dr. John Duffy is here. We're talking about negativity and how many of us bring it on ourselves. John, you know I play a lot of tennis, and over the years I've played 30 or 40 guys who, during a match, will get down on themselves vocally.
Yeah.
You know, come on, Ed, get your head in the game. What's wrong with you? They'll scream at themselves. What's that all about?
Right. So it's kind of trying to force themselves to overcome that negative internal dialogue that's telling them you're losing, you're screwing up, you're not good enough here, you know? And typically, I would bet you would argue, doesn't work.
It never works.
Right, right.
I always know that it's, as soon as I start to hear that or see that, I say it's over because they're in their own heads.
Yeah, that's when you know you've won in a way, right?
Yeah.
No, I mean, the answer here is kind of a longer game than that. You can't change it in an instant. You need to kind of get into a pattern of thinking differently about yourself, the world, the future. The therapy that works most effectively with most people is called cognitive behavioral therapy. The cognitive part is what we're talking about. The way we think and look at ourselves, our world, and the future, mostly ourselves. And if we can shift that negative thinking, we were talking off the air a minute ago about just like kind of coming up with a list of things that you're grateful for about yourself and revisiting that list frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you do that, you kind of have to be pretty tenacious, because your subconscious mind is a pretty tenacious thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it will hold on to those negative thoughts with everything it's got unless you provide it something to replace those thoughts with.
Right.
And so you want to replace them with, you know, if you're overriding thought is, I'm simply not good enough, you can just turn that on your head and say, I absolutely am.
Yeah.
You know, and that might seem corny and cheesy and ridiculous, but if you try it and you held in for 3 weeks, eventually you'd begin to own that.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. So we all have to turn into Stuart Smalley for ourselves and look in the mirror and go, we're good enough. But that, in a way, we do, right?
Oddly enough, when I was in grad school, I remember thinking back to Stuart Smalley and thinking, oh my God, he's doing exactly what we're telling people to do. And he's just like kind of lampooning it.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, honestly, we have to look at ourselves and say, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and gosh darn it, people like me.
I guess you kind of answered what Marge had, but Marge, you have a question or comment for Dr. John Duffy?
Yes, I do. Hi, everybody. Hi. I do. I'm going to try to articulate it kind of to the point. I actually, I do have difficulty. I do have anxiety and depression. How do you, doctor, get through the day? I own my own company, a small business, and how do you get to the day without radio, television? You know, every time you used to be able to turn the television on and put on a television, a couple programs in a row, and relax and forget about, things going on in your life or in the world, and, enjoy it. But it's like constant bombarding of, like medication. Do you have this? Do you have that? All this stuff like that. And then the same with the radio. I love your show, Wendy and Bill, and I listen to the radio all the time. And, there's 25 commercials on, illness and sickness and this and cancer and whatever. So I guess my question is, and I use that cognitive all the time because I did go through a program where that really seemed to help and shift my thinking. But how do you, besides never turning on the television, never turning on the radio, how do you get through that garbage,
That's actually a great question, Marge. I totally get your point. All the images and everything that comes at us through the media can make us think and really believe, wow, there's something really wrong with me, and maybe there's a pill that can fix this or something like that.
And I
won't recommend that you turn off the radio and the television altogether, but if you took 5 minutes out of your day, there are these apps on meditation that just kind of are intended to take you out of that day-to-day thinking and into a different headspace, for lack of a better word. So if you just took 5 or 10 minutes, sat alone, and this may seem absurd for the first 20 times that you do it, but if you do that and you just listen to yourself think and you consider the way you think, you'll surprise yourself, first of all, with what you think about yourself that might drive some of that anxiety and depression that you feel. You're clearly a really successful person, and yet this kind of owns you a little bit.
Right,
so if you can protect a little time just to focus on that and not pressure yourself to fix it, just kind of listen to your mind and gently replace those thoughts over time. You don't have to do it right the first time. You don't have to do it right the 10th. But if you hang in there for a while, eventually you'll find that you can slowly, and it might feel kind of glacial, real slow, but you will slowly be able to replace those negative thoughts with positive ones. And then some of those images that you see on TV and on the radio that you hear might not be so insidious to you and might not have your attention so much.
Right. Just one more thing. I should have put that in my sentence that, guilt. I have a big, a guilt thing. Why should I be happy to, because there's so much crap going on. We got this going on in the world and that, there's a guilt. Why should I be happy if everything else is all,
Survivor apart? Guilt kind of thing, right?
Yes.
Right? Exactly. Survivor guilt. Exactly. That's exactly what it is. So that probably falls into the same thing, tune it out and,
Well, that I feel a little bit differently about, Marge, because I hear that in my office virtually every day. What right do I have? There are people who are starving out there. There are people, who are in wars. And I think that's kind of a dangerous game to play in your own mind, because then you're not entitled ever to have a negative emotion. And I want you to feel like, well, sometimes I'm not having the best day, and I don't feel great, and that's not the end of the world. That's okay. That doesn't mean a slippery slope down to the depression. That just means you have a range of feelings and emotions, and that isn't the end of the world.
Okay.
Marge, good luck to you.
Thank you. Thanks, you guys, and I'm listening. This is a great show. Thank you.
Oh, you're so nice. Thank you.
Thanks. We'll try and be more positive. there's a text here that's kind of interesting, John.
Yeah.
I agree about giving yourself a break, but then I feel the reason we are all so crappy is because we are not holding ourselves to high enough standards. And when I heard you saying to Marge, it's glacially, very slowly these things are going to happen, I don't know, do we not challenge ourselves enough?
Right.
Isn't it okay to take things slowly?
It's threading this needle between I'm a good enough person, I'm a worthwhile person, and given that, I expect great things from myself. You know what I mean? I think those can both exist in the same prism, in the same mind. So I actually think I agree with the texter completely that, I think we need to expect a lot from ourselves. The part of the problem is when we think really negatively about ourselves, we undoubtedly underperform.
Sure.
Right. And so that's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah. That inner monologue that goes on, that constant reinforcement that you're not good enough, is that a surrogate voice of a parent, a teacher, a coach? You're filling in a gap somehow, aren't you?
Almost always, Bill. When people first report that to me, I always ask them, like, you know, whose voice is it that you hear?
Right.
And it's usually, they can pinpoint that in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And it's usually a parent. Sometimes it's a coach. Sometimes it's a teacher.
That's very telling, isn't
it? Yeah, it is. Mm. It is.
Man, I mean, and that's why you have to be careful what you say as a parent. I mean, we were talking about trying to help people and women being nurturers. I do try to solve all the problems that come up in our family. And sometimes I'm told, Mom, you can't fix everything. Right. Can I just be upset? And I guess that's a great thing. You can be upset.
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay to be upset. And it's okay as parents to say, yeah, you know what? Sometimes that stinks. You know, and just join your kids in that instead of fighting it. Because sometimes when you find yourself fighting it, it just goes on and on and on. And sometimes when you just acknowledge how your kids feel, they tend to let it go.
Yeah, that is a great way to do it. Like something bad happened. It's, oh, that sucks. Just even saying that, and then they'll talk more. Undo Anxiety is your podcast. Did I see that it's new and improved or changed?
New and improved. We changed, given along the lines that we are talking about now, right? So Undo Anxiety suggests this negative thinking, right? Anxiety is a negative word. So my wife, Julie, brilliantly came up with the name Better for the podcast, and as such, she is now the co-host of the podcast as well. So we are better with
excellent.
John and Julie.
Congratulations.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, John. Great to see you. That's
Thanks,
Dr. John Duffy. A quick break, some news, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy. Fritz Kagi coming up in just a few
How about
moments.
It?
I'm excited. Stick around. It's WGN.